We turn in the Word of God to the book of Joel chapter 1, and we look this morning at verse 2 under this heading, The Dignity and Duty of Listening. The Dignity and Duty of Listening. We live in a visual world. Seeing, it seems, is everything. Seeing is even believing. And we see the influence of that idea in every aspect of life. When it comes to elections, it is not what is said, but it is how the personality comes across. We look and see how they appear on television, and us voters go out and vote for the one that is photogenic, that looks the best. We have it in education, where seeing plays such a huge part. Listening, that's what the older generation used to do when you were in the classroom. You listened. There were very few pictures of anything. You had to listen. Now pictures are everything. And even that medium that is devoted to listening, the wireless, has given itself over to music by and large, because so many people just don't listen. And when we come to the church, the center of listening, we even see the church has been influenced by sight. And so we have screens and PowerPoint presentations up and down the country. It has taken over the church, all these large screens, because men and women, we are told, no longer listen. Hearing has fallen on hard times. So it is significant that the God who communicates everything about himself has, by and large, given it all by listening. He could have communicated everything by seeing. After all, we have the grandest display of seeing, and that is creation. And yet, God commands us to hear, to listen. He shall have a conversation with us. He shall talk to us. And we are to listen. God has singled out hearing as the medium of distinction for us. So there is a dignity to hearing. We are to listen to God. Let's note a number of things in relation to this point that Joel makes in that second verse of chapter 1 when he commands the people, Hear this, ye all men, give ear, all ye inhabitants of the land. First of all, hearing and the fall. Genesis chapter 3, verse 17. And unto Adam he said, Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife. Note what is said. Thou hast hearkened. You listened to the voice of thy wife. In other words, he listened to the wrong voice. He should have listened only to the voice of God. Adam's sin was the sin of unfaithfulness. He turned aside to falsehood. He listened to a different word. By contrast, the emphasis with Eve is upon sight. Genesis 3, verse 6, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes. What a fascinating contrast. Eve didn't listen to anyone's voice except Satan's, but she was persuaded ultimately by what she saw. What she saw would govern the very voice of God, would govern the Word of God. What she saw would be the determining factor. But for Adam, it was hearing the wrong voice. For Eve, seeing was believing. For Adam, hearkening to the wrong voice led to the fall of all humanity. But then secondly, hearing and blessing. Hearing and blessing. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. We read in verse 3 and 4. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Built into all this hearing is blessing and obedience. The essence of true hearing is to obey. If we truly listen, if we truly heard, we would obey. And God says, if you hear as to obey, I will bless you. Hearing and blessing go together. We can put it in a natural, earthly sense. If we go back to the classroom, the ones who listen to the teacher, they learn. The ones who are listening. Those of you who sat at the back and didn't listen, and you talked and you drew pictures and everything else, you didn't learn. And you left the classroom as foolish and stupid as when you went in. And the teacher says, when you say, I don't understand it, you should have listened yesterday or last week. How much more in a spiritual sense, if you listen, you learn. Listening and blessing go together. Deuteronomy 11. Verse 13, and it shall come to pass, if ye shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. If you hearken diligently, if you listen carefully, then you will learn what pleases me, says God. You will learn to love God with all your heart and with all your soul. That's the path of blessing. Hear and be blessed. And then thirdly, hearing and understanding. We turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter 22 and verse 17. Bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise, and apply thine heart unto my knowledge. Here we see that hearing is the seat of knowledge. It's the place of insight and understanding. If you want to know, if you want to understand, if you want to possess knowledge, listen. And so Job says in Job 12:11, doth not the ear try words? The ear tries words. We listen. What is being said? How is it being said? What is the essence of what is being said? And we're examining the sentence. That's how we learn. It's like a parent that says to their children, I want you to do something. But before they run off, you grab them by the shoulder and you say, listen, listen. I want you to do this or that. And then you say, what did I tell you to do? You get them to repeat it back just to ensure they've listened. But if you tell them, they run off. And they get back and they say, what did you ask me to do? What did you send me for? The same with an employer. Says to the servant, this is the task for today. They listen. That's how they learn. Do it this way. An employee on a job, and the foreman says, now here's a job that has to be done, and here are all the instructions, and you must follow these steps, because if you don't, this might happen, that might happen. And if they have listened, they will follow. It's the seat of knowledge. It is of fundamental importance to be listeners. Not just to use the eyes all the time. That's why television is so attractive. It means people can switch off their brains. They don't need their ears anymore. They just see. And they think they see the news. And they have an instant knowledge, they think. But they don't. All they've seen is a sequence of images. They don't know anything. Hearing is the seat of knowledge. It is of fundamental importance if we are to know, to listen. And fourthly, hearing and its symbolism. Hearing and its symbolism. Exodus 21 verse 6. What a strange thing we have here before us. Then his master shall bring him unto the judges. He shall also bring him to the door or unto the doorpost, and his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. What a strange thing is this. We might say how painful this might be, getting your ear drilled to the doorpost. It's obviously because it's something solid behind the soft tissue. That's why he's using the door. But why at the door anyway? Why not somewhere else? John Gill says, it is the hieroglyphic of obedience. The hieroglyphic of obedience. By having the ear bored, it symbolized this person was bound to hear only one person evermore. And that was their master. That's what it said. From now on, I listen to only one voice. The voice of my master. And that's why it's used in Psalm 40 verse 6. Sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, or thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Mine ears hast thou opened. Mine ears have been bored. I hear only one voice, and none other. Exodus 29 and verse 20. Then shalt thou kill the ram, and take of his blood, and put it on the tip of the right ear of Aaron, and upon the tip of the right ear of his sons, and upon the thumb of the right hand, and upon the great toe of the right foot, and sprinkle the blood upon the altar round about. The putting of the blood upon the right ear and the right thumb and the right toe, it intended to signify every faculty, every member of this person is dedicated to the service of God. What a powerful symbol. Every inch, every nerve, every faculty, every member that I possess, the totality of my existence is given wholly to God. Their ears to hear God's law, their hands to serve God's law, and their feet to obey God's law, the ear, the hand, and the feet. They hear only the law of God. They serve only the law of God. They obey only the law of God. And the same, of course, is done for the cleansing of lepers in Leviticus 14, verses 14 and 17. So symbolically then, you see that the ear is a crucial member of your body. The ear, oh, it's not that the ear can replace and displace every other member. But God Himself has dignified that particular member. That's what He's done. He has elevated that member. He could have shown Himself by all kinds of pictures and sights. But He says you are to hear. You are to listen. That's how I will communicate myself to you, by hearing. That's how you will learn. And what has Christ done? He has placed preaching in the church that all may hear the word of God, emphasizing what God has done in the Old Testament, that we are to be listeners. And so when Joel comes to these people and he says to them in that second verse, hear this, ye old men. Hearken. Give ear, all ye inhabitants of the land. All this is in the background, because these prophets, they always came with words. They called to the people, listen, listen, listen to the voice of God. But let's come to some applications of this. First of all, a call to all hear the word of God. The prophets in the Old Testament, the apostles in the New Testament, exhorted men and women to hear, hearken, listen to what God says. Isaiah 1 verse 2, hear, O heavens, give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib. But Israel doth not know. My people doth not consider. What's wrong with these people? God through Isaiah says, here is what is wrong. They are a people with ears, but they do not listen. What a tragedy. We turn to the apostles. Acts chapter 13. Acts 13 and verse 16. Then Paul stood up and beckoning with his hand said, men of Israel, ye that fear God, give audience. What's he saying? He's saying, listen very carefully to what I'm about to say. For what I am going to tell you is of great importance to your very existence. In light of the prophets and the apostles, it is right for preachers to call people to attention. To throw off your drowsiness. To be alert, not to be sleepy, but to listen to the Word of God. You only have to but take a concordance, if you may, and look up a phrase. See how often we read these words, "Hear ye the word of the Lord." You'll get it in Kings and Chronicles. You get it in Isaiah, Jeremiah, 16 times in Jeremiah alone. Over and over, God comes through the prophets, "Hear ye the word of the Lord. Hear ye, each and every one of you, ye old men, ye old women, ye young men, ye young women, ye children, boys and girls, hear the word of the Lord." And preachers have a right, have they not, to call people to listen. And the preacher stands up and says, "Those words that are so important, let us worship God." What's he doing? He's calling to attention. All else must cease. Everything. We are now to worship God. And of great importance in that worship is to listen. Even as we sing, we are to listen. Because the voices around us, they are exhorting us. Isn't that what we do when we sing? We are speaking to one another. Are we listening to the words sung? When you sing, you're contributing to that speaking one to another. That's why your voice is important in song. You may not think much of your voice. You may be always off key. It doesn't matter. You're singing the words of God. And preaching matters. The reading of the word of God matters. Just listening to the sound of the words. Listening to what is being said. That's the wonder of our authorized version. Because the word was given to be read. And so it has within it that wonderful rhythm to capture, to draw attention. And we could even just close our eyes and we can follow the words and the sentences so that even a blind person can still hear the word of God. A call to hear. Then secondly, the practice of the Lord himself. The practice of the Lord himself. Psalm 50, verse 7. "Gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice." Then verse 7, "Hear, O my people, and I will speak." Why are the people called together in verse 5? "Gather my saints together unto me." God says that I may speak to them. So whenever we gather together as an assembly, God comes down and addresses us. This is what makes worship, I suppose, in a sense, so fearful, so dreadful. He calls us together. It would nearly make the hair rise on the back of your neck. God comes into the midst of these people. "I will speak. O Israel, I will testify." Psalm 81 and verse 8. "Hear, O my people, and I will testify unto thee, O Israel, if thou wilt hearken unto me." What is God's own practice? It is to come and to speak. When we turn into the New Testament, we have this here in Matthew 13. Matthew 13 and the verse 9. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. The Saviour is doing the same. Verse 15. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed. Verse 18. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom, and so on. Verse 22. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word. Verse 23. He that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth. So the Saviour's own practice was to call people together, like Psalm 50. And he says, hear. Hear these words. And when we turn to the last book of Scripture, Revelation chapter 2, verse 7, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Verse 11, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Verse 17, he that hath an ear, over and over the same phrase is repeated. Even in the chapter 3, verse 6, 13 and 22, he that hath an ear, let him hear. So the practice of the Lord in the Old Testament, the New Testament, the risen Saviour through John speaking to the seven churches keeps emphasizing the same point. Hear, listen. He that hath an ear, let him hear. Are you listening? Are you hearkening? That is to say, is the word getting down into your soul? Or is it bouncing off the drum? Is the word getting inside? Thirdly, hearing and salvation. This, of course, is a great theme in Joel, but we turn to Romans 10, that equally well-known statement. Romans 10. Verse 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In the context, verses 13 to 15, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? You see the sequence. So then, faith cometh by hearing. So you have the preacher sent. The preacher preaches. The sinner hears. And the sinner through hearing comes to faith. Hearing is of vital importance to your eternal destiny. Have you heard the very voice of Christ saying to you, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Have you heard the voice of Christ? Are you going home saying, yes, I heard the voice of Christ. And he called me to himself, and I came to him, and I trusted him, and I claim him for my Saviour. Have you heard him? Or are you still deaf? Don't be like Thomas. Thomas said, unless I see, I will not believe. What a dogmatic assertion. What a condition. Unless I see, he said. Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. John 20, verses 24 and 5. What did the Saviour say in verse 29? Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and have believed. Faith, Thomas. It comes by hearing. That's how it comes. And so John himself then writes, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ. Hearing the word of God and believing in Jesus Christ. Fourthly, beware of entertainment. Everything now is entertainment, isn't it? Even the news on television is entertainment. Did you realize that? You know, before the adverts come on, they say, coming up next. And a little story that's about to come. What do they do? They just want to keep you watching for the benefit of the advertisers. That's all it's about. It's entertainment. Even Bible clubs have become entertainment. It's all fun and games and playing with Xboxes and whatever else. Seeing is the new substitute, the replacement for hearing and reading. What is different about hearing? It is this. Hearing requires patience. Hearing requires attention. Hearing requires alertness. You don't need any of those things for seeing. Hearing requires greater effort than seeing. Listen to a story. Remember when you were younger, your father or mother may have read a story to you, and you sat in the chair or lay in your bed and you listened. And you had to follow all the sentences. You had to be alert. And they couldn't rush the story to get to the end. They had to go through all the details. It's all part and parcel of building up in your mind an understanding of the story. You had to listen. You had to be alert. Oh, I know you may have fallen asleep eventually. But nonetheless, while you were awake, you were alert. You were patient. It's the same with the wireless. You have to listen. It's the same with preaching. You need patience. Alertness. Attention. So I say to parents, train your children to be listeners. Though I know television has become like a nurse. Everyone puts their children in front of the television. They know they'll be quiet. They can be quiet for the rest of their lives. Train them to listen. So they will have to sit at the table as you read to them, as you talk to them, or tell them a story. Train them to listen. So that they will listen to the voice of God. They will listen to the preaching of God's word. They will be alert for the rest of their lives. But be aware of entertainment. Don't train them to be entertained. They'll not be able to listen. They will fall asleep. And then fifthly, a warning. It's a twofold warning. The first is from Mark 4, verse 23. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And he said unto them, take heed what ye hear. What ye hear. Not everything should be listened to. Someone telling tales, a tale bearer. There's a what that should not be listened to. Preaching false gospel, that should not be listened to. Heresy should not be listened to. So train yourself in terms of what ye hear. Not everything everybody says should be listened to. Train your children not to listen to everything that is said in the playground or in the street in the neighborhood. As adults, we shouldn't listen. There's a whole lot of things we shouldn't listen to. We need to discern what from what. In Luke 8, verse 18, take heed how ye hear. How we hear. Do we hear with attention or with carelessness? A manager in a shop speaking to an employee and they're looking at them, they're telling them something, and the employee's minds, their eyes are all over the place. They're giving no attention. We are to give attention. How we hear. Do the eyes glaze over and our mind wander off into the ether? Or are we alert? Are we listening? How we hear is important. Let's take an illustration from 1 Samuel 15. 1 Samuel 15 is a most impressive chapter. I commend it to you. 1 Samuel 15, verse 22. Samuel said, and he's speaking to Saul, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Listening to God, Samuel says to Saul. Listening to obey, that's what we mean by hearken. We listen and obey. Hearkening, Saul, means more than all the sacrifices you could possibly offer. The downfall of Saul, he didn't listen. That was his fault. And so he went off and did his own thing. Sickly. Neglect of the word. Not listening. Is preceded by hardness of heart. Neglect of the word preached precedes hardness of heart. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7 and 8. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost said today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. As in the provocation, as in the day of temptation in the wilderness. Verse 15. While it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation. Chapter 4 of Hebrews. Let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. In other words, don't just bring your ears to hear. Bring your hearts as well. Do not be like the priests and the Pharisees and the scribes who were present when Christ preached. But their hearts were filled with bitterness and enmity towards the things that they heard. They didn't have a heart for the word. Do you and I have a heart for the word? Do we? Or is our heart hard? A hardened heart, even as we hear the word preached. Don't be like that. Today, if ye hear his word, harden not your hearts. And then seventhly and finally, the mark of Christ's sheep. The mark of Christ's sheep. John 10, verse 26 and 7, but ye believe not, because you're not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow. They hear and they follow. How do you know a Christian? How do you recognize the elect? How are the elect known? They hear and obey Jesus Christ. That's how you know the elect. My sheep hear my voice. They listen to the shepherd. Topsail the Puritan says, there are none the sheep of Christ but those that hear the voice of Christ. So there are none the Lord's which are not hearers of his word. They which hear not Christ are none of his. Don't leave this means of grace deaf. If you belong to Christ, you will listen. If you're not, you will not ever listen. That's the tragedy. The elect, the sheep, they hear and they obey. Are you hearing?